Hear the city and you'll hear yourself is a telling line from John McCarthy's new play, which is called City. It opens online from the Everyman Theatre in Cork next Friday. Recent times, of course, have given most of us cause to get to know every step in our nearest 5 kilometres. This play takes a magnifying glass to an unnamed city, to the bricks, the plasterboard and the sockets that hold it all together, and to the stories, some as old as time itself, that make it up. John McCarthy performs the monologue, as the city itself doing the talking. I'll be talking to John shortly, but first of all, let's hear a clip from very early on in the piece.
I just want to say, before we head into this any further, I just want to say there are so many rooms you'll never see. The person next door to you right now lives in one, or across the road, and you'll never see them. Lit up by night on the upper floors. Hints of rafters, wall lights, mirrors, posters. Full glass apartment windows showing so many more lives back at you than you could ever lead. Even when you look away, they go on, living their impossibly other lives there, wearing jumpers you could never carry off, gripping their pens and notebooks in an alien way, ordering from the wrong Chinese entirely. And the sockets in those rooms, waiting there still, you'll never plug anything into. And the light switches, so simple to flick, you'll never touch. And what it feels like to stand in there after a shower, after a match you've played in a sport you play, on a field with other players who play it, and all of you in enough agreement on the rules and boundaries to spend a good 70 minutes, 80 minutes, 90 minutes playing it like this is a thing you do. There are so many lives.
John McCarthy there, and performing a clip from his one-man show, City. There are so many lives, the line that we finished on there. John joining me now from Cork. Where did the play start for you? It's a very telling line, that one, there are so many lives. Where did it actually start out, John, the idea for the play?
Hi, Sean. It started out with a conversation with my friend of mine, Keith, who designs or is involved in the design of microchips. Years ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was talking to him, and he's done this for years, and I've known he's done this for years. But we were talking about something else, and suddenly he just described his job as a bit like designing cities, or that how a microchip is like a city itself, with its own thoroughfares and boulevards and areas where you must divert power to and draw power from. And that kind of stuck in my head and fascinated me. But rather than delving into the technological aspects that kind of invites, I kind of got more interested in how we too are sort of hardwired with, as cities, as people walking around the place, with stories and memories that make us who we are, I suppose.
I said that it's an unnamed city. I can't imagine anyone from Cork writing about any other city. Am I foolish in thinking that it would be anything other than Cork?
That's one or two actual geographical references.
Yeah.
And of course, I love Cork City, but I was only thinking today, actually, because your researcher asked that question, and the book by Italo Calvino, which I hadn't thought of for a long time, Invisible Cities, came to mind. And in that, Marco Polo is talking to Genghis Khan about all the cities that he has visited, and they're all remarkable and different and extraordinary. But ultimately, each city is Venice. Each city is Marco Polo's city. So equally, whatever city I'm talking about, I guess I'm stuck with it being Cork, which is a good place to be stuck with.
And I guess there'd be many as a Cork person would agree with every word of what you just said in terms of what other city could you be talking about. One of the things that really struck me about it, John, there are a few kind of core stories that you tell, but one of the core stories, it's almost about a story that passes through the city. In that, explain how Cork was it on a kind of a telegraph line, if you like, from America through to Europe. Explain that line that it was on, and then the story that you tell regarding that story that passed through that telegraph line.
So, the telegrams used to come through Cape Clear. Ships would drop stories off. They would be picked up and then telegraphed from Cape Clear to Cork, to Dublin, to London, and all the way through Europe from there. So, for example, news of Lincoln's assassination arrived at Cape Clear before it arrived anywhere else in the Western world, outside of America. So it's a fascinating history. Late 19th century, the southwest of Ireland was a technological hub, I suppose, for the most advanced technology that there was. And one of the stories in this piece is about a guy called Paul Boyton, who may or may not have been Irish. He turns up in America and starts jumping off things into water, and he becomes known as the Fearless Frogman. He later became part of Barnum's circus. Like, he was the main draw in that. They'd dig a swimming pool for him wherever he went, and they'd move circus every 3 days. This doesn't come up in the play, but it's just an absolutely fascinating character and time. But the Fearless Frogman jumped off a steam liner in Roaring Water Bay, which is he had come from New York, and the steam liner was continuing on to, I assume, Queenstown Cove. But he jumped off in his frog suit to demonstrate that you could survive stormy seas by carrying your own inflatable device. It looks like almost like one of those sumo wrestling suits.
Yeah.
But he survived, and he came ashore at Baltimore, and it kind of lit up the world's press for a few days.
Yeah, and there was a bit of controversy around it, in that a friend of his, they had tried this way of, let's show how this suit works by jumping from a height into water, and in the case of a pal of his who jumped off Brooklyn Bridge, sadly didn't survive. The suit didn't work, or something went wrong in the way he landed in the water.
Well, now that's something of an invention. So a person did die, called Robert Emmett Odlum, and yes, you're right, he was a friend of Boyton's, with a remarkable name, Robert Emmett Odlum, also of Irish ancestry. But he jumped without any suit. He was demonstrating. His particular thing was more noble in many ways. He was trying to encourage people to jump from burning buildings into nets. And he said that it is not falling through the air that kills people, because presumably up until that time, that was a common belief that itself, falling through the ether, was the thing that killed you, but the impact that would kill. And unfortunately, he had jumped from Niagara Falls and survived, but he jumped from Brooklyn Bridge and died. But the thing that I'm saying may be an invention of the play, or of mine, the playwright, is how culpable or otherwise Boyton was in that.
Right.
Odlum's own mother did blame him for it.
Now, I said that Cork can be many things, but I didn't know that the town Bó Chuailinne made his way down to Cork. You tell the story of Ferdia Cúchulainn, and I suppose the play, as much as anything, becomes about telling stories, John.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, it does. And I suppose inevitably then, given that I'm the person who wrote it, it becomes about the stories that I want to tell, cleverly disguised as plot in the play itself. But I've always been fascinated by the town, by Thomas Kinsella's translation in particular. But even in primary school, I remember where I was sitting when I heard this story, or I've imagined that I remember that, about having to go for 10 days, I think was what I heard, in a row, to fight Cúchulainn at the ford, knowing that one of them would die, and them being such great friends and foster brothers and all this. And I think there's something heroic and pathetic about it at the same time. And in the play, there is this theme of perseverance, of keeping on going. And that's where we kind of enter the Ferdia story. He's going to the ford to do this thing again.
Again, day after day. However, a very personal story then towards the end of the piece, with a beautiful connection to yourself and what you and your partner spent most of lockdown doing. If I talk about 26 bottles defrosting in the sink, take it from there and tell us what's in the bottles and why they were defrosting in your sink.
Yeah, so we've a daughter who was born in March. Iris is her name, and she's wonderful and very healthy now, thankfully. But she had a difficult start, and we were in various hospitals, brilliant people working in Crumlin and Cork University Hospital. And through that all, she couldn't she couldn't breastfeed. But my partner, Rebecca, would express milk, not knowing whether or not she would drink it in the end, not because we feared terribly for Iris's survival, thankfully, but that it may have been healthier for her to stay on formula. So all these things were completely alien to me, you know, 2 years ago. But basically, that perseverance I mentioned there again
was is part of the story that you wanted to tell.
Part of the story, and that ritual almost. And I mean, it's easy for me to call it ritual. I didn't have to do it, but the returning again and again to pump breast milk, to freeze breast milk, to label breast milk, became something, I suppose, practical, that got us through a very difficult time.
And it's beautiful the way you pay a tribute to Rebecca in the midst of that. And congratulations to you and her, to yourself and Rebecca, on the birth of Iris, and continued good health to Iris. Great to hear that she's doing well. John, thanks for speaking to us about the play. John's play is called City. It'll be available online from the Everyman Theatre from the 16th through to the 25th of April. And you can find out full details on everymancork.com.